Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Shantanu Agrawal, Deputy Administrator and Director of the Center for Program Integrity within the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Tim Stitely.
Would you elaborate on how you are engaging with the private sector in new ways to better share information to combat fraud across the healthcare system? Also, how does the Healthcare Fraud Prevention Partnership factor into this strategy, and what else are you doing in this area?
So this partnership is, I think, very important to our work. It's something that we've been engaged in for last couple of years. And it's really the first partnership of its kind where CMS and the public sector are very much at the table and engaged with the private sector. So really who constitutes the partnership are public and private payers, including state Medicaid agencies and national associations, and then our law enforcement partners, I think, very importantly. We have about 38 partners right now, and it's really predicated, I mean, what's at the heart of the partnership is exchange of information and data. We want to exchange best practices. We want to exchange discussion of what the issues and vulnerabilities in healthcare are, what the solutions are, and then, extremely importantly, actual data. Claims data, other kinds of data that will allow us to identify patterns of concern across both the public and private sectors. A lot of folks said that this would be a real challenge, or that the private sector in particular may not be willing to share this kind of data either with us or between each other for competitive concerns. But I have to say, since we've launched the partnership, we've actually engaged in data exchanges. We've actually recently started. We started with more high-level qualitative data, and as we've built trust over time, built more technological and just sort of system abilities for the partnership, we are now at the place where we can share claims. And we've gone from a few hundred data points that we've been sharing to now tens of thousands. It's actually becoming a challenge to handle the volume of data that all the partners are really willing to put into the partnership. So that's a really, I enjoy having that challenge. It's really a great challenge to have that there's this much excitement behind it. What we are working on now is how to drive impact for all the partners. So once this data has been exchanged, what are we all learning? How can we take advantage of that as individual partners? And then sustainability. You know, right now this has been a government-led and government-funded initiative. We want it to be a hybrid model where both the private sector can pay into it because they're getting value out of it, and the public sector will continue to pay for it and encourage it. So these are the big initiatives that we're working on this year is driving value and then getting to a more sustainable financial model.
So what can you tell us about the Physician Payment Sunshine Act, or Open Payments, and how do the two mobile apps developed by CMS support the goals of the Sunshine Act?
Right. So I never thought I'd be in the mobile app business, but it's been really interesting to get into the space. So Open Payments is the implementing program behind the Physician Payment Sunshine Act, which was also another part of the Affordable Care Act. What this provision in the ACA is trying to do is capture financial relationships between physicians and teaching hospitals and companies like medical device companies or pharmaceutical companies. It was commonly understood before the ACA that a lot of these financial interactions were occurring, but what was difficult to understand because of a lack of data was what these interactions mean for utilization. Do they lead to innovative practices, innovative devices and products that benefit society? Or do they lead to potential conflicts of interest that drive up utilization without that value or that benefit? And you know, I really suspect the answer is obviously going to be a mix of these things. So CMS's role in this program is collecting data from the industry, from the companies, about their financial interactions with physicians and teaching hospitals, and then making that data available to the public. It's really a data transparency program. There are no requirements on us to generate public policy or particular analytical results. It's really more about making that data available to patients, to healthcare advocates, to consumers, to statisticians, to see how that data will be applied and utilized, ultimately to, I'm sure, elucidate good, you know, sort of lessons and perhaps one day to affect policy. We have launched the program. The first year of data reporting was last year. We're actually in the middle of the second year of reporting. So we're right now actively getting data from the industry, and they have a window of time until the end of March to get us all of their data for 2014. What we'll do after that, and what I really want to highlight, is we make that data available for a period of time for physicians and teaching hospitals to come in and look at it prior to public posting. And they have an opportunity to not only see their data, but affirm data points that they believe are accurate and dispute data points that they believe are inaccurate. So that affords then the companies an opportunity to look at the disputes and decide, you know, is this data truly accurate or not, and make any relevant changes. That vetting process by physicians and teaching hospitals, I cannot overstate the importance of. We really want physicians to get involved because that helps to ensure the accuracy of the information. And you know, if the program is going to be successful, if the data is going to be useful, then fundamentally we've all got to believe that the data is right in the first place, that companies have reported it accurately, that physicians have had a chance to review it and agree that it's right, and then we make it available to the public.
Have you seen any trends and promising trends since the passage of the Open Payments Act?
So I think it's a little early for trends because all we really have thus far is half a year actually of reported data from 2013, and then we're in the process of collecting all of 2014. But what I think is interesting is that, well, so number one, open payments was built on a broader context. There were states that already required this kind of reporting. There was a lot of discussion in the medical literature. There were ethics guidelines that were put out by both the provider community as well as the industry. So there's quite a bit of context in the background for open payments. What I think was surprising about the first year was the volume. So we got about 4.5 million payment interactions reported to us, accounting for about $3.7 billion that changed hands between companies and physicians and teaching hospitals. Those numbers were certainly higher than we expected and higher than you would have expected knowing the background literature, which, you know, was probably a third of that roughly. So even in just half a year, we got a lot more data reported to us than we expected. And, you know, we'll see how that plays out for 2014, which will be the first full year of reporting. Will it be on the same scale? Will it be higher because it's a full year? I think even the getting data initially will just be really interesting because it'll be the first insight that people have into the broad set of financial interactions that happen. I did want to say something about the apps, only because it's kind of cool. So as part of this process, CMS put out two mobile applications, first mobile apps that CMS as an agency has put out. And the purpose behind these apps is they allow for physicians and companies to agree on the financial interactions that they're having even before the data comes to CMS. So we were trying to get to, you know, by using these apps, we were trying to encourage alignment so that there would be fewer disputes on the back end. So there's an app for physicians and an app for industry, and it really allows them to exchange data with each other between the apps so that a physician knows what kind of financial interaction just occurred based on what the industry kind of tells them, you know, or communicates to them app to app. So that was actually kind of interesting. It was sort of very fun to build, and it allows me to say something that I never expected to say, which is you can download the apps at iTunes and on Google Play, which is, I think, just really cool.
Well, speaking of the folks who will use it, the beneficiaries, I believe, they're integral to your efforts, your anti-fraud efforts at CMS. How are you better educating or engaging that community to help you with your mission?
Yes, beneficiaries are really important. And again, I think if the agency's mission-driven, so are the beneficiaries. I mean, again, these are American taxpayers that are, you know, are part of the Greatest Generation and other communities, and they really care deeply about the viability of the Medicare program, about the longevity, the success of the Medicare program. So getting their involvement is really key, and we've done that in a couple of different ways. One is we simplified a couple of years ago the Medicare summary notice, which was our explanation of benefits form. We simplified it by translating a lot of the very clinical terminology or payer-specific terminology to hopefully terminology that the everyday person can understand. That allows them, you know, to do two things, I think. One is just better understand their healthcare utilization, right? Get better insight into their own kind of data and what's happening in their own healthcare. But it also allows them to reflect on care that maybe doesn't, capture or just seems erroneous, right? There, you know, Medicare got a bill from a physician that I don't recognize, or from an agency, an institution that I don't recognize. And so this, you know, the MSN actually became a tool for more transparency, but then also getting the beneficiaries to report things to us as issues or complaints or concerns that we could then look into. And we've actually gotten really tremendous leads from our Medicare population, which is, I think, really important. The other major avenue that we have is 1-800-MEDICARE, which is the phone line that Medicare beneficiaries can call in. We get about 40,000 complaints per year related to program integrity concerns or issues from the beneficiary population, which can inform the work that we have ongoing. It can start new work. So each of those things is those complaints or pieces of input are taken very seriously and can really help to drive our mission.
How will the move for payment to quality outcomes versus fee-for-service impact fraud, waste, and abuse prevention? We will ask Dr. Shantanu Agrawal, Deputy Administrator and Director for the Center for Program Integrity within the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.